Okay. First of all, today is Sunday, November 29th, 2015, and I welcome all my students here, and I say Shavua Tov to all those listening around the world. And give me one second, Giddy, we're trying to roll. Well, Danny, to sit over here where I can see you. I can't see you there. You're in the corner. You need the outlets, whatever. Okay. It's Sunday evening. Next Sunday at this time, we'll all be busy with Hanukkah, so there's no shir next Sunday, just be aware. But tomorrow and next Monday are normal, Be'ezrat Hashem. Now, the topic we covered... next week there's Shir Monday, and then the week afterwards there's no Shir Sunday or Monday. That's the kollel is officially off. In other words, it's nothing to do with
next week. There is a Shir.
Next Sunday there's no Shir. It's Hadlakat Neirat. There's no Shir in the afternoon in the kollel. Okay. Monday there is a Shir, but the week afterwards, the last days of Hanukkah, officially Sunday and Monday, the kollel is off. That's the way the schedule works, so that way someone who wants to go away can go away for that last Shabbat and go away including Sunday and Monday. All right, we spent a lot of time on the issue of Kol Isha, and it's a fascinating issue. To summarize, Halacha Lemaisa, obviously, if you live in the Haredi world, the women in the Haredi world do not sing, period. So that if you're going to be in a home, if your wives or girlfriends or daughters, whatever we have here, are in a Haredi house, caution them in advance that they would be offended if the girls sing. In our world, let's put it this way, it's a subjective concept, it's a derabbanan, and particularly when men and women are singing together, it's a lot more room lahakel. If it's involved with Kirat Rechokim, so that, of course, is the Tshuva of Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg and even Rabbi Menashe Klein could not, totally void that Tshuva. He had to say, Bavonatenu Haravim, but nevertheless, this is the reality. The whole question of Kol Isha may be a more basic issue. What does Kol Isha mean? And as we know, and as we've heard, and as people have written in, and as I know, I absolutely know how I know is a different story, but I'll tell it some other time. Some Gedolei Yisrael went to opera, and if that's the case, then it depends what's being sung, how it's being sung, what context it's being sung, how the women are dressed, etc. But you have to use seichel here, and particularly in outreach, not to offend anybody. Now, all that we did last week with Mori Urebi and David Holza and all the people we quoted, the incidents in the homes of Rabbi Prale and Rabbarach Berlevovich and Rabbi Yaakov Ruderman, and we got involved even with Shlomo Kalbach, and I love what Kalbach said, I was left with one idiot. So it says something, and you have to use seichel here. It's delicate. In my family, the women do sing, and I wouldn't interfere with them singing. They sing L'Shamayim and the Arayim V'Shleimim. I have a relative who came back from Israel who wouldn't sing, and today, years later, she's firm and solid, but she's certainly would sing today, which doesn't make me happy. I would be happier if the way she came back and didn't sing, if that's the way she wanted. You understand what I'm saying? When someone, I got a tremendous lesson in the rabbinate back in the early 60s, where Herbie Maltz comes from. So we had a rabbinic meeting, and I was a young kid then, and
so was I.
We were both young kids, and in the rabbinical meeting, there was one rabbi, let him remain nameless, he's not alive, and he gave a heksha. Today that heksha is given by the OU, and when he gave the heksha, they asked him at this meeting, do you eat from your heksha? He said no. And the other rabbis were hysterical. So Rabbi Shalom Ber Gordon, who some of you knew, pulled me aside, he said, and said, I want you to know that he was once a Chabadnik, and he gave up Chabad. when you give up Chabad, you give up a little bit more than just Chabad. And it's a good word. So in someone's Charedi, I will always tell them, you stick to your practice. If you broaden and have a better Hashkafa, that makes me happy. But don't throw away the way you were raised. And I'm very happy in Machon Levu, I just stopped in Mincha, you see a slew of Haredi students, Baruch Hashem, among them students of mine from this very kultel, with long beards and peyas, Chassidish of Gab, Litvish of Gab, and Baruch Hashem, they Yerayim Vishleimim, who will make a tremendous contribution to Yishev Eretz Yisrael and building the country and all the degrees you get from there. A tremendous contribution in the army.
So it's a sea change.
Michael teaches there and he knows what I'm saying. But if a student came to me and said, Rebbe, I want to be like you, get rid of my beard, wear a kippah shruga, don't wear black clothes, I tell him, you're not going to make me happy if you do it. So that's my thinking. Rabbi Rubin, you can agree with me or disagree, it's not Torah Sinai, but that's my thinking. He knows what I'm saying. I'm out to build the state of Israel. I'll keep Torah. Now, I just want to say our dear Talmud Nachum Lamb mentioned to me, and there's a video. I mean, everything is on YouTube. Everything I said last week on YouTube. It's amazing. So he mentions that the story with Herbert Samuel's daughter is not as Rabbi Dalfin describes it, whoever quoted it, or was it Rabbi Kamenetsky, wherever I quote, whoever quoted it, it was not the birthday of his granddaughter, but they believe it was the engagement party of his daughter. And that makes more sense, that the engagement party of his daughter, that's where Rabbi Cook came, and Rabbi Sonnenfeld came, and Rabbi Cook walked out, and Rabbi Sonnenfeld remained when the girls sang. So it's an interesting little story. In addition, he sent me another source in the Rav Moshe Blau's autobiography. Rav Moshe Blau was a big Agudat Yisrael, semi-Eidah Charedit leader, Yerushalayim, the Blau family. It's Rav Amram Blau, the leader of Neturei Kati Fami Avram, that family. You know, you've heard these names? Rav Amram Blau, my daughter, once came home crying. She's a little girl, my daughter was a little kid, and she saw him being arrested on Shabbos for throwing rocks at police. You know, they were demonstrating against...
He
married a convert. Please. A tzaddeket, Herb. She was a tzaddeket, and her grandchildren were kippot shrugot and serving the Israeli army. So have nachat. Anyway, so my daughter came home all upset. It was a demonstration against buses. The buses began early on Shabbos. Remember, those of you who have lived here a long time, the Yerushalayim was not like today, where 70-80% of the population is Shomer Shabbos. Then we were 20%. So the buses began early and there were demonstrations. And my daughter saw this wonderful Jew with a long beard being hurled off by the police on Shabbos, and she was so upset. And this is Rav Amram Blau. This is the family. She didn't see the stone. She just saw the arrest. But they saw Aveli Yid. Go watch the movie The Shoter, the policeman. You'll see. By the way, we had a Talmud in the Kollel whose father played in that movie. He was one of the Chassidim throwing stones at the cars on Shabbos in the movie. Anyway, so the story is told in his biography that one time Rabbi Blau, Rav Moshe Blau, left Shaarei Tzedek Hospital together with Rav Chaim Yosef Sonnenfeld, Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. It was Tu B'Shvat. I noticed from afar that many students from the secular, non-religious schools were approaching us. Boys and girls, male and female teenagers with the Zionist flag at the front of each group, singing the workers' songs, that means, you know, the old marach, coming from their nostril, from their mouths. They were walking four abreast, and the people on the street were pushed to the sides of the road. I knew that the sight of a few thousand boys and girls from non-religious schools walking in a parade, modestly dressed and without gender separation, would cause Rabbi Sonnenfeld pain. Therefore I said to him, the parade of children of the non-religious schools is coming. Perhaps the Rebbe wants to go back into the hospital building. No, was his answer. Are these Jewish children? We were pushed to the side of the road as with everyone else. The parade continued as each school marched in their own contingent with the sound of their songs penetrating the air. I saw that Rabbi Sonnenfeld was murmuring with his lips. I bent my ears and heard him saying, Yosef Hashem Aleichem, Aleichem Va'al V'Nechem, Baruchim Atem La'Hashem, Oseh Shemayim Va'aretz. He repeated these verses of blessing over and over again until the last child in that long procession had passed. That's a very, very powerful statement from Reb Chaim Yosef Sonnenfeld. So it shows you our concepts of who is the Mekhil, who is the Machmir. Over the decades, I've lectured many times Rav Avraham Yehon Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, and the truth of the matter is that in certain areas, there was no greater Machmir than Rav Cook. If you take Geirut, for example, he was more Machmir than any other Posek. So it's hard to qualify a Mekhil, a Machmir. These were great Jews. They had different hashkafat, but the love of Klal Yisrael was there 100%. Okay, we're now moving forward, and we come into an area that we can have endless discussion. Halacha l'maisa, it's a topic, a concept that all of us have to deal with in life. But let me begin at the beginning and begin very innocently. I'm beginning with Mishnah Halachat Chelek Yud Aleph Siman Tet Zayin. Chelek Yud Aleph Siman Tet Zayin. Unfortunately, we do not have the question in front of us. All we know is that he's writing to a person named Mordechai Tzvi Sasne. He's Menachel Vadla Haram at Keren HaTorah. The letter is written in 1986, and he's writing about what's going on in Woodburn. Excuse me?
Is Rabbi Klein?
Yeah, Rabbi Klein. He's writing to Rabbi Klein. And he's writing and he's asking, and he says what goes on in the summer. Rabbi Klein is summarizing the letter, but he doesn't go into details that up in the Catskills, there is absolute pritzot Saturday night. Ruach shel holalu tu pritzot tu prikatol shagorim gam lechil Shabbos chas v'shalom. And he doesn't tell us what. I'd love to know. Anyone here remember the Catskills, the 1970s, then the mid-80s? What went on Saturday night? What are they talking about? And they're talking about frum Jews, pious Jews.
Mass migration of kids would come to Woodburn, and there was pizza,
So Woodburn was the center. Pizza
it was the heart of activity.
We have here someone who was actually there and is still there, right? Every summer, still in the Catskills. And Murray Goldwag. And Murray, there were boys and girls there together. I mean, he says here, cholalut, pritzot. Wow.
I remember serious interactions where I know that there was everybody came.
Okay, and what does it mean, chilul Shabbos? That they would start the heading, talking, getting ready, the stores? I don't know what it means, chilul Shabbos.
Not open. Everybody was okay. Shabbos.
Okay, okay. Okay, so the chilul Shabbos may simply mean they were looking at the clock. They were in a rush. They had a daven Maariv. They had to get out. The opposite of this famous story the Rav told that I write up in the Rav. Okay, so we can perhaps understand. Now, I wish you would have given a better description, but Murray filled us in. And now the rabbis are debating, should they issue a kol kore, a placard, a paskvailer, as they call it in Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak. And absolutely declare that this is off limits, this is improper behavior, and say that it is forbidden, and all the rabbis would sign on. All right, this is in the Haredi world, par for the course. Those of you who know what's going on right now, there's a tremendous outcry in the Sfadik world. They came out with a big declaration that the Moroccans are to follow the Psakim of Rav Ovadia Yosef, even when it contradicts Moroccan tradition and Moroccan Psak. And now, going, this just came out. You pick it up on all the websites. You didn't see it. It's go to Olamam Shel Haredim, go to Yeshiva World. And last week, the world was boiling over. And many of the Moroccan rabbis said, we never signed, our signatures were forged. I got an email from a dear Talmud from this very Kollel. He's in a state of shock, forging signatures. I said, my dear Chaim, there are reasons why the Rebbe is not Haredi. I've lived here 47 years. I've seen what goes on. So there are reasons why I am who I am and believe what I believe and think what I think. But leave that stand over. But this is the way the Haredi works. Now, this is what he writes, a very innocent question to Reb Menashe Klein. And here Reb Menashe Klein comes down. It is absolutely forbidden to go to the mountains. He says, I hear stories of what's going on. He says, you're asking about Saturday night? Tzichim la'asav b'klal la'lechet b'mekomat ha'elu b'kayetz. And he says, who's going to listen to you? These people go up there. They're filled with priesthood. They're filled with holalot. They're filled with that feeling. And I can tell you, there's a memoir from, you're from England. So there's a memoir of a rabbinic family in England. You can check it out. I don't want to go into names. And the son became a famous professor and no longer Shema Shabbos. And he writes in the memoir that when his father would go on vacation, he wouldn't be so medadek in Hilchot Shabbos. He writes in the memoir, and he says, you get that feeling? I mean, that's a frightening thought. Person's going on vacation. But I always have this problem. People tell me to go on vacation to New Hampshire, to Vermont. They go many exotic places. They're there for Shabbos. Where do they get a minyan? Where do they hear Kriyat HaTorah? But people have this attitude. They go on vacation, they got to get away from it all. All right, you got to get away from it all, but not from God, not from Torah, not from a Jewish lifestyle. But Reb Menashe Klein here is adamant, and he quotes a Gemara, a very, very fascinating Gemara. Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Amid Bet. And I'll hold the Schottenstein translation in front of me, and the Gemara tells the story that there was an area in Prugisa and the Omisis where the fruit, the food, the wine was fabulous, and people loved to go there just because it was so tasty. And the Gemara says, and boy, this Gemara is prophetic, Kipchu aseret hashvatim miYisrael, that these pleasures of life destroyed the 10 tribes that we lost. Look into Rashi, shall you balei hana vasukim bekach v'lo hayu askim b'torah v'yatzu l'tabut ra'ah. Alex, if I didn't know better, I would say to you, what is Rashi describing? American Jewry, Canadian Jewry, English Jewry, wherever there's freedom of choice, the Jews today, pleasure, the good life. You want proof that I'm correct? Do you have that sign? Okay, that much Yiddish? Karnait Hari, you're going to get a degree in Yiddish. Yitzchak, No? Look, you don't accept it. There's an open Gemara. Look at them. Hold off, relax. Look at the magazines. You want to prove I'm right? Look at Bamishpacha magazine. Look at Ami magazine. Look at the advertisements, Promigrant, the meat, the butcher, the chef, the wines. All right, the Olam Hazeh. This is what the Gemara says. They were so busy enjoying life. But then the Gemara tells an unbelievable story. The Gemara tells a story. You look up the Gemara. I don't go into great detail. It's a fascinating Gemara. Rebbe Lazar ben Arach happened to chance by there. He was traveling. And when he chanced by, he started drinking the wine, tasting the food, going to pomegranate. What, the new store opened there, but what's it, blue tomato berry, whatever. Another one opened. Oh, he loved it. And he was so busy feasting, he forgot all his learning. And they tell a story that in that area, they honored him with an aliyah, and instead of reading HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, he read HaCheresh Haya Libam. Do you understand? In other words, instead of HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, he reads, why was their heart silent? A play on his own lifestyle, that by enjoying the wine, the meat, the good life, the fruit, the candy, the sweets, the cake, his heart became solid. And the Gemara says they prayed for him and his Talmud came back, but he was careful now not to go to such a place where the stress is on earthly pleasures. Rabbi Nasha Klein takes this Gemara and uses this Gemara as a source why we're not allowed to go up to the mountains and indulge ourselves. We'll become drunk, holalut, pritzut, and a great deal of Yiddishkeit will be forgotten. But then he goes further. We come to a very serious question that each and every one in this class has to face at one point in life. Tell me, the mountains, Cholulut and Pritzut, where do we live? Do we live in a ghetto? Or do we live in an integrated community? I'll ask you better. This question, everyone who writes about Chabad has to deal with this question. The Rebbe sent Shluchim places where there was no other from Jew. A guy arrives in South Korea, where does he get kosher milk? Remember, it's not rakefet. I can drink regular milk. Rabbi Rubin can drink regular milk. I haven't been to South Korea, but I don't know. We have to check. In France, I can drink regular milk. In London, I can drink regular milk. In New York, I can drink regular milk. The Rav drank regular milk. Rav Moshe drank regular milk. No, Rav, please, when he came to when he came, when he allowed. He allowed. I heard that. Say that. We'll ask Rabbi Moshe David Tenla. But I can tell you as a fact that in Lakewood, when Lakewood began, they used breakstones. That's a fact. It's in the memoir literature already. And I can tell you as a fact that the Rav once says to Shamus since the late 70s, it was Mike Talmud, and he says, the Rav had to drink a lot of milk. He had ulcers, lo aleinu. So he said to the Talmud, go out and get me a quart of milk. And he hears he hears the Shamashim, what does he mean? What kind of milk? And the Rav said, milk. He gave one of the names, seal test, whatever, plain, simple milk. Don't get involved in any pilpulim, O-U-D, any simple milk. But the Chabadnikim have a problem. And the Rebbe sends them, and he has children, and you all know that how do you raise children in such a climate? Kids have no one to play with. Kids have no one that thinks like them. Kids have no one who observes Shabbat. All right? And the Rebbe said, I take achrayat, and you all know that the percentage of these children who go off the path is under 1%. No other hashkafer in the Torah world can make that claim. But now look at the opposite. Look at the opposite of the spectrum. Shaya, are you a Zionist? Is your wife a Zionist? Were your mice and nefesh the common aliyah? Right or wrong? Tell me, do you know Vayakel Moshe of the Satmuruv or Al HaGamula V'Al HaTamura of the Satmuruv by heart? Do you know those two Sfarim by heart? Yes or no? If you don't know those two Sfarim by heart, you cannot be a Zionist. Aaron Rakefit knows both Sfarim by heart. You can test me. And I wish I remember all of Shas and Poskim like I remember the Satmaruv Sfarim. But ever say that, don't worry. But that's why I can say I'm a Zionist, because after knowing all those Sfarim, I know where I stand. Anyway, can anyone tell me what's one of the main points the Satmaruv makes against going in Aliyah? The Satmaruv, time and again, how can you go in Aliyah? How can you live with Shkatzim, Ramashim, Mechalalei Shabbos, Ochlein, Nevela, Trefat, Boil, Bilata, Surat? And he goes on and on. And you all know that in page 104, 110, 111, you'll see in Al Gemul Al Atmura, when the whole world was celebrating the liberation of the Kotel, the Satmaruv said it's forbidden to go to the Kotel. What happens at the Kotel is Pritzot and Holalot, and Chabatnikim, who are off the wall, are the biggest sinners in the world. I'm quoting him verbatim. They think they're doing a great mitzvah by putting tefillin on the secular Jews, and they don't realize that all that's on the mind of the secular Jew is to rape and seduce women, and they're not allowed to put on tefillin, etc., etc., etc. And therefore, the Satmaruv, the Squarer Rebbe, came up with the unbelievable idea. The Squarer Rebbe was first. You move away, move into a ghetto. What do they call it? New Square. In my time, it was called Square Town, but I understand that they prefer you call it New Square. And I just told you in class, I gave out a document that my dear student, the Gedalia Friedenberg, sent on to me, where right near where he lives in Muncie. So they came out with a document, no from Jews should buy within a mile, I think it is, of New Square, because what was happening, the Muncie crowd was moving, and Muncie's not big enough to hold the whole crowd, so they were moving further north, I believe it is, closer to New Square, and in Square they went crazy that their kids will see Jews who don't dress like them, don't think like them, have different types of beards, different types of payas, different types of kippot, different types. Alex Angelos, this is a delicate question.
What? I read the piece you gave.
Wait. I'd
like for us to be done.
No, I'm not giving you an opinion. I'm saying it's a challenge that all of us face. Don't take me negative, but understand the challenge. They would rather have goyim, because goyim, it's like my grandson. He was raised in Hanov, my eldest grandson. So one time he was a little kid who was out of our house on Shabbos, and he was sitting on the terrace, and we're high up, and we have a tremendous view, and he saw cars on Shabbos. And I couldn't tell the kid these are cars driven by Arabs, you know. And he was amazed that Jews are driving on Shabbos. So I understand the New Square philosophy. And this actually is a Rambam. What the source of the Rambam is, you'll find, you go into the Nosei Kalim, you can find it, many sources in Shas, including the Gemara I just showed you in Masechta Shabbat. And this Rambam is quoted time and again by the Satmaruv. Hilcha Deyat Perik Shishi Halacha Aleph. And you can go in, and the Satmaruv is developing the idea Derech Briyoto Shel Adam Liyot Nimshach B'deyotav U'B'masav Achar Reyav V'chavayrav V'noheg Kaminchag Anshei Medinato. And we all know this. Anyone who studies psychology, anyone who studies sociology, we all know that a person is greatly influenced by his friends, by his surroundings. I heard from my Rebbe 1,000 times over. I've said it 1,000,000 times over. My grandchildren, Baruch Hashem, quote it whenever I give a drasha. I tie in Ger V'Tosha V'Melchi Machem. And I have Nachem. I see my grandchildren understand this. They're Sabu very well. The greatest challenge we all face, and you know what's going on with the women rabbis today. And a very important Rav, a big Talmud Chacham, the head of an institution that's just a 1 minute walk from here, just visited America and visited Canada, and he met with all the Rabbanim in Canada, and people were with him, and they told me they were flabbergasted. Every last question he got, women, what can they do? What can't they do? Can they read the ketuvah? Can they be misaderet kedushin? Can they say sheva brachot? Every last question. And this is exactly the problem we have right now. What the RCA calls, what the newspapers call in a popular language, centrist orthodoxy versus open orthodoxy. Rakefet doesn't call it open orthodoxy, neoconservatism, but who listens to Rakefet? Forget it. Outside of, I was so pleased, Rabbi. The rabbi from Toronto, who I spoke about on Monday, he actually wrote to me and explained his viewpoint to me, and I wrote back to him. I had nachat, okay? I had nachat, but Korupkin, Rabbi Korupkin, the great translator of the Kuzari, and he's a vice president of RCA. But this is our greatest problem today. What can we accept? What can't we accept? We're all influenced. We're living in that big world. We spoke about going to opera before. No, did the Rambam go to opera? But nowadays, you can give a list of Gedolei Yisrael who went to opera. I don't know if they went when they were 50, 60, but they certainly went when they were 20, 30. We're all influenced. What can we accept? What can't we accept? And the Rambam paskins lahalacha. V'chein im chaya b'medina shem min hagotecha ra'im v'yein anasher hochim b'derech yisha'a yelech l'makom shanashim tzadikim v'nohagim b'derech tovim. So if you have a choice to live in Kalamazoo, Michigan, or to live in Teaneck or Muncie or Lawrence, obviously, according to the Rambam, you have to live in Teaneck, Muncie, Lawrence. V'mayu kol ha-medinot shehu yodon v'shemei shmuatam no'agim b'derech lo tova kimo zmanenu. The Rambam says, could you imagine nothing new under the sun? That all these countries are acting incorrectly? O she'eni yachol lalechet l'medina shemin ha-gadchet tovim b'pnei ha-kayasot. Or maybe he can't travel. The roads are filled with armies. It's like what's going on today in Syria, in Iran, in Iraq, in Lebanon. You can't travel. Turkey. Wow, what's going on in Turkey? Yeshev levado yechidi. He should sit by himself. And the Rambam goes on and on. If you can't escape your rotten neighbors, that means go into a cave. Chavachim, the Mefarshim explain, is a place with thistles, thorns, where it's not easy to live. Ulamidbarot, va'al yanhig atzmo b'derech hatayim, and don't live a sinful life. So you see, you have to admit, that's a very, very powerful Rambam, Hilchat Deah. What are the consequences? And now you can see who is right. Where do we live? And Reb Menashe Klein quotes that lahalacha. How do you go up to the mountains? How do you dare go up? How do you expose yourself? How do you take children out of Brooklyn, out of Borough Park, out of Flatbush, and you expose them to all these Saturday night shenanigans, escapades, call it what you wish. He calls it sinful behavior, and he's very upset. He really wants to usher going to the mountains entirely.
This was in what year? In
1980. What did I say? One second, I'll give you the year. 1986. Thank you, Yitzhak. 1986. Now, did he what?
They didn't have from.
Murray tells you it was all from all Shomer Shabbos. Brooklyn was emptying it out. But they're on vacation. The kids are wild. Cholulot, Saturday night, music, rock music. Who knows what was going on?
The same thing is true in the 50s and 60s. That's when I lived there.
But you didn't have that many from people there. I remember camp.
No.
It's a delicate question. It's
when
a
BMT existed. What was the pizza shop on the whole?
Richie's.
This is the same thing. Yeah. This is like ushering going to Richie's. This character is so obsessed that he got the Russia quite excited. You think that who knows what the heck is going on there? Bolesh show.
Relax, it's
like you say.
And in the Haredi world, from kids having pizza together with girls is chok v'lo yavor. Watch Shtitzel, it's called the soap opera about the Haredi world. It's kedai to watch it. The first year there were 11 episodes, I believe. It's now the second season.
This is on Israeli TV.
Yeah. I don't watch it.
How realistic is it?
Totally. It's run every word you can imagine. No. It's
realistic TV sounds like an oxymoron.
Yeah.
No. It's take my word for it. I've watched Chatzer. My grandson downloaded it for me. Ask your sons how to download it. They'll know. Your son with the guitar will certainly know. Anyway, I can't watch Srugim because Srugim eats my heart and I live it. I go to shul, I look at these, and they know who I am. It's not that they're respectful, Reverend Kesset. And they're all in their 30s and 40s, and I mention a girl to them, they look the other way, like I'm mentioning poison. And the girls, too, I have to tell you, there was one, Tommy Dachman, I try to set up with this fellow, he calls her. She says to him, I don't want to repeat what she said, more, God, it's sad. So I can't watch Srugim because I live it. But to watch a soap opera, Chatzer, which was written by my granddaughter-in-law's first cousin, who's a Talmud Chacham Atzum, fabulous. That's about a Hasidic court. And it deals with Halacha, the Aguna, but he's a big Talmud Chacham. He could write it. Shtitzel, he knew Simon Yud Zayin and Evan Ezra, you'll see at the end, there are 26 episodes. Shtitzel was not written on that level of Lumdus, but the reality is overwhelming. And the Yiddish, how they get actors that speak a perfect Yiddish. You know, an actor has to have a sense of language. Unbelievable. Perfect Hebrew, perfect Yiddish, and once in a while they throw in a little bit English. It is fabulous. But these are real problems. What do you do? Where do you live? Everyone had to make that choice. I made that choice in 69. Every other American was running to Bayit Vagan. And I said, no, I don't want to live in Bayit Vagan where everyone is from. I want my kids to see none from people, know that they exist, and not be shocked later in life when they see someone who's not from. And I chose not to live in Bayit Vagan. You understand? This is a very delicate question. Who is right? Who is wrong? How do you achieve? Kibbutz Hadati, what is Kibbutz Hadati? If not a ghetto. Right or wrong? What is Shalavim? What is Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim? If not a ghetto. What is Yad Binyamin? If not a ghetto. On the other hand, the answer, and many answered the Sakhmuruv, that what do you mean to live in America among Goyim? And that's better than living in Israel among Jews? The Yisrael Apopisha Chata Yisrael Hu, and these are Tinokat Shenishpagu. No one is a Mumma Lahachiz. Alex, you're a Chabadnik. Be done the Kapschut. Had that Chabadnik slap my face.
I'm not even sympathetic
to the Torah Karta in the early days. Not the seventh
Rebbe, please. Yes, he was.
The seventh Rebbe.
Yes, he was.
From the day I met him in 1941, he was Seder, Zomen Zangezund. be it as it may, you can have your own opinion. It's not halacha, but halacha Torah Sinai. But it's fascinating. But he doesn't stop here. He quotes the Sefer Hasidim. Quotes the Sefer Hasidim. You see the source in here. That Minik, that he says, the Sefer Hasidim says, that Jews have such insight. It's repeating the Rambam, but in modern context. It's exactly what I said 2 minutes ago, that Baruch Hashem, Simon understood, he says, Jews live like their Gentile neighbors. And if the Gentiles don't care about a riot, the Jews born in that city will be exactly the same way. Now, you have to understand, a riot sex is one of the greatest, what can we say, desires that God placed in a human being. The Pirkei Avot says, three sins take a man out of the world: HaKavod, HaKinah, VaHataiva. Let me give you a vort from a guy named Aaron Rakefet. I say, these three problems don't happen simultaneously. A young person is taiva, absolutely. Then he gets a little older, kinner. He hits 40, 50, he's jealous. I make 50,000 shekel a year. This other guy makes 70, 80, 90. Where did I even... I always say, I look at my classmates, they all... This one became a world-famous medical doctor, and a world-famous accountant, and a world-famous lawyer. Mibayna Shalaylam. All right. They make great livings. Kinna. Then you grow older. What I saw in my life among my rabbeim. Oh boy, a guy turns 65, 70. He doesn't get enough covered. They'll kill each other over covered. Oh, what I saw in my youth, absolutely frightening. I had one advantage, and this Rabbi Rubin will testify, we learned Musa, we were in Avad, we were close to Rav Lessen. So Baruch Hashem, we tried to control our taiva. We certainly had very little kinna. And covered, I don't even understand how a bus of a dumb can be involved or seek or search for covet. And we had a great Rebbe. The Rav, there were no shtick. There was nothing there. Just totally honest. As you read in the eulogies, he would answer the door if someone knocked. Answer the telephone. This is Soloveitchik calling. Like the Lubavitcher Rebbe, never use titles. Be very careful when someone calls and leaves a message, Rabbi so-and-so called. Oh my gosh, and I'm married to the second power, and he's reminding me we made a mistake in once gave him smicha. So you see, but taiva is very bad, and it overwhelms youth, and youth generally doesn't have the backbone, the insight of life, doesn't have Mishle and Kohelet yet. He's kulo and shir hashirim, and the sefer chasidim, very, very insightful.
It's important for somebody to have a little self-confidence and think of himself highly. Otherwise, he is going to be a total depressed
man. So here we hear Herbie Malt saying that a person has to have self-confidence and think of himself highly. And the more he thinks of himself highly, the more humble he has to be and thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he has that ability. The older you get, the smarter you get, and a mensch bleibt the mensch. A person, a human, remains a human. Very, very important.
Didn't I hear that the Rav, he was not so much on his own kavod, but he was very much to give kavod to the
No, the gift kavod to Tanit Chacham is a halacha. The Rav wouldn't be Masada Kedushin. Rav Nissen Flush, I saw with my own eyes. The Rav wouldn't be Masada Kedushin. Rav Blazer Silva was there. Come on, this is absolute. But there's a concept of humility, humbleness, a human being. The Rav was the Rav. He would not go along with the shtick you see in the Haredi world today, Das Teira, and no flexibility, endless machloket. I don't want to talk about it. What's going on, B'nai Brak and Yerushalayim, if you're up to date, it's beyond comprehension. But very important. But taiva is taiva, and we're all influenced. And there are endless scandals, both in this kippah and a black kippah and a shtreimel and whatnot. I don't have to tell you who ran away to South Africa today, and let's not even dirty our mouths by talking about it. But the Sefer Chassidim is absolutely right. The influence. Gentlemen, do you live in this world? The Rebbe has to tell you all the news.
Yes,
Rabbi Berland, please. You're that guy, Baruch Hashem. You woke up. Berland. Breslov, the Israeli police are out after him. What are you talking? At least with Rabbi Pinto should have refuah shleima, sex is not involved. So I give him that much credit. Okay. But see, this is real, and we're influenced. And it creates, look at America today. Who would believe there are no sexual standards whatsoever in high schools? They give out condoms. I mean, just think where we're at. And this is the Sefer Chassidim. And now he goes one step further. And the next paragraph, he raises the very issue that YU attempts to use as a selling point. How do we send our children to college campuses? Pritzut nora'ah. Bismanim achronim, he says, what goes on in college campuses, and he's absolutely right. When I was growing up in Columbia University, do you remember what the rule was? You couldn't close the door if you had a member of the opposite sex in the room with you. And later the students fought it, so they finally reached the compromise. You had to leave a matchbox in the foot of the door so it shouldn't close. How do we send our children, he says, we're taking them and putting them in an atmosphere of absolute riot. And lahalacha, he reaches the conclusion that you're going to sign a placard, no one's going to listen. I feel shebe'emet, it's absolutely forbidden to go not just to Woodburn, but to the entire Catskills. Tzarich Ian Gado, b'chol ofen. And this is what he says, do what you can, but it's not going to help. Avo b'vaday she'tzarich la'asot al ha'kol ha'efsharut la'tzil nefoshot mi'Yisrael.
What year is this from?
1986.
You should see it now.
I said, what's going on today? Who can believe it?
Same-sex
bathrooms. I mean,
it's a huge Orthodox world. It's immense. Gated communities. Shabbos is wonderful in these communities.
He's not having a problem with that. But he's having a problem in 86 that it was integrated on the general scene and everyone is an American and Saturday night is Saturday night. Saturday Night Live. Everyone's alive and awake. But the hymn, the mingling of the sexes. Again, he doesn't say what the Holalut and the Arayot is, but we're just trying to figure out what went on there. Okay, I want to come back.
In Mishpacha Magazine, for example, a woman writes a letter to the editor, they don't list her name.
They don't list her first name. They don't.
We're discussing here a rant against the modern world by Jewish Taliban members.
Okay. Yitzchak,
and in the real world.
You're entitled to your opinion, but please understand what he's saying. And the Sefer Chassidim, a psak of the Rambam, an open Gemara, and one second, and I want to come back to YU. You see, YU has you see the crew from Stern College is here today. Did you see? You know what I'm talking about, Avram? Stern College, the assistant dean, registrar, whatever.
Why in general?
It's boys and girls. And they're trying to work out scholarships. They told me it's mainly to help economically. It's not actually the registration. So now, I want to ask you a question. A kid today who doesn't hold by learning, in other words, if you really want to learn and be a big Talmud Chacham, then YU is fabulous. You can have fabulous Rebbeim. I think the faculty, as far as I know, it has a fabulous faculty. Every kid can find a Rebbe who, Rabbi Kahn, Rabbi Baruch Simon, Rabbi Reichman, I'm not talking now the famous names, Rabbi Schechter, Rabbi Rosenzweig, but everyone can find the Rebbe, Rabbi Willig, who you relate to. But if a kid is not really into learning, the kid says, why do I go to YU? I can go to any famous university in the United States, get a top quality degree, have 3 minyanim a day, have an on-campus shir daily, I can learn daf yomi, I can have a beautiful Shabbat. And this is a big problem for YU. It is cut into the registration, particularly for Yeshiva College. And here, YU can make one statement. The environment is different. It's not a university which is totally open to every lifestyle that you have in the modern world. That is YU's uniqueness. It's basically, the heart of it is the yeshiva, their rebbeim, their talmidei chachamim, there's yirat shemayim, their endless minyanim, there's, I hope, not only the Litvisha approach on campus, but from what I saw in YU today, there's chassidus, there's varenkai, it is all there for you to have. It's not a chasm between the sacred and the general or the secular or the profane. It's all there. And this is something only YU can say. Okay, despite what Yitzchak said, the truth of the matter remains, this is an issue which all of us face in life. How do we want to live? Where do we want to live? Even in the state of Israel, there's a big difference if you live in Efrat or if you live in Migdal HaEmek. There's a big difference whether you live in Or HaKiva or whether you live in Bnei Brak. And this is an issue that many of us have to face. This is why the Israeli army is such a crucial moment in life, because for the first time, Chiloniim and Datiyim and now Charedim Baruch Hashem come face to face. And you know something? 90% of the time it works l'kavod u'l'tiferet. It is something to be proud of. And these are daily issues. The square, New Square, Monroe, running away, Stamford Hill, London, you can go on and on. Israel, look at Kfar Chabad. Look what's happened there. Look at Ramat Shlomo. And Baruch Hashem, we have a good answer to the Satmar Rav. More and more dedication, more and more commitment, more and more understanding, more and more outreach. And I'll tell you more after next Shabbat. Next Shabbat, it's a Talmud from this very Kollel who, it was my Talmud 20 years ago. He was then in for a while in West Hampton assisting my other Talmud, Rabbi Schneier. I visited there a number of times. And then he came in Aliyah. Rabbi Miller couldn't believe it. He didn't know where he is. I said he came in Aliyah years ago. And I read about him in Makor Rishon that he took a shul that didn't have a minyan already Friday night in North Tel Aviv, right off Ben Yehuda, Frischman, Ben Yehuda, that area. And there are now 300 people coming Friday night to Daven. And he uses the shtick. He's not Chabad, so he can't. It's not Chabad. It's not Tanya, what I talk about with the Rav in David Holz's book. And that's really something, how David has that conversation. But he puts a red carpet Friday night. You welcome the Shabbat like royalty. Red carpet. Then, after davening, they have a big kiddush, just like the Hamptons, and they use champagne, not regular wine, champagne to welcome the Shabbat. No, Avram, what are you going to use in your community? Will this speak to them, or you have to use what talks to them? You understand what I'm saying? Shtam v'reach ein lichitvakeach. Okay? You follow me. You know that expression, right? Tam v'reach ein lichitvakeach. But this is, Yitzchak, you dismiss Rabbi Nachshon Klein too quickly. This is his thinking, but he raises very fascinating issues. And I want to tell you, I've come full cycle. You know what I'm talking about? At our age, a lot of our friends are going into senior citizens' facilities. So I visited with Malka, a number of them, to visit my friends. I wanted to see what's going on. So we went to one in Shoresh. You know, we have friends living there, whatever they call it. Forget, Shoresh, big one. Being built, massive, beautiful. We went in Yerushalayim, right near where you live. It just opened, right? And we happened to be there, Cholomei Pesach. We're driving by, I parked the car. We went in, they jumped on top of us, gave us a tour. And I hate to say it, they kept on calling me back. I told them, look, I'm thank God, healthy, I'm teaching. I'm a 3-minute drive from Gris in the morning when there's no traffic. Going home, it can be 5-6 minutes. We'll see. Okay? I said, but I have to be honest. I saw the ladies in American. Maybe she's religious. I could let down my hair to her. Because I started speaking English. I said, that's you don't have to break your teeth. I speak English. I heard the accent. She heard my accent, maybe. So I said, I want to be honest with you. If I ever should have to go into a senior citizens, I will only go into a place where everybody is religious. It hurts my eyes to see Chilul Shabbos. I said, all my life I fought, I did what I could do. I was a rabbi, I wanted to change the world. Shmirat Shabbos is the heart of it. Once you're a Shemesh Shabbos, it means God exists. Vayer vayivoka, it means there's someone above you. You understand? This is why Shmirat Shabbos. If you don't have someone above you, then you're like Obama. You declare morals, ethics. You are the center. You don't look up. You don't look to your side. You understand? A Jew. At my old age, I want to be like the Rambam. I want to live in a desert surrounded by Jews who are Shema Torah and Mitzvah. So Yitzchak, I wouldn't dismiss Rabbi Menashe Klein. That you don't have to live like that goes without saying. But it's fascinating how this question comes up. Murray, give us a report when you go to the mountains next year if it's improved, okay?
I want to give you the report now.
Right.
In 30 years since 1984, 85, right, the mountains has firmed out to the point that there are no more Chiloning bungalow colonies. The majority of the colonies are black as can be, whether they're very black hat.
Right.
And even the young Israel colonies have gone down the tubes.
Uh-huh.
And
so
We've changed our venue in our business. We're no longer what we were. We're something else today. We're selling all kinds of chassidish garments. Baruch Hashem, we have that business that everybody comes to and they respect what we're doing.
Right,
and they know that this is right. The country has changed. Woodburn is not a place that's on the black list anymore. At least I don't believe it is.
Okay.
And I don't know what Menashe Klein did afterwards. The majority, now there's new concerns. There's
okay, new okay. Rabbi Menashe Klein would come to Israel during the summer. Okay. All right, let me go further. Fine, this is one tshuva. The next
they just opened casinos there.
They just opened what?
Casinos.
Casinos in it's coming. Oh boy. In the mountains. And okay. And, what I have seen already in casinos, but forget it. Now I
the casino was the place where you played.
No. Now we have a very brief but fascinating tshuva that ties in with modern times. And here I want to tell you a story. You know that Monday morning we get a number of outsiders, including Professor Tarrigan, Morty Tarrigan. So Mori Terrigan, when he retired, there are reasons. He was in Rehovot, he was in Weizmann Institute, and Charlie, Dr. Hexter lived there. They were very close, and at a certain point, Mori's retired, and he, like all good Jews, he wants to come to Yerushalayim, and he's come to Yerushalayim, and he has to find a shul. So he's been davening in Beit Knesset HaNasih, which, as you all know, is Rabbi Beryl Wein's shul. Rabbi Beryl Wein, of course, had a distinguished career in the Rabbinate in the United States, fine Talmud Chacham, and a magic storyteller. I'll put it that way. So Professor Tarragon told me the other day that Rabbi Wein told the following story. That he met this lady who we knew was in the rabbinate, a conservative rabbi, you know, for a lady, a Shomeret Shabbat, ordained by the seminary. And she has the shtela, and she left the rabbinate. And she's no longer in the rabbinate. I think she's teaching, but not in the rabbinate. So Rabbi Wein asked her, why did you leave the rabbinate? I mean, you wanted to be a rabbi, and you had a good shtela. And you know, people looked up to you. And she tells Beryl Wein, I knew it was time to leave the rabbinate when all the Balabatim spoke about after I gave the sermon Shabbos morning is how I was dressed and not about what I said. And of course, this brings back Jackie Mason's joke, but it's a true story. I know the Mazer family. He comes from a very firm family. He changed the name from Mazer to Mason. When I learned in Lakewood, there were Mazers. Everyone knew the family. And Jackie Mason, they asked him, you were in the rabbinate, you were chazan, you were this, you were that. He said, how did you know it was time to leave? He said, when I would give a sermon, I saw all the balabatim would talk afterwards about the good jokes I told, but they never spoke about the sermon. Now, with that being said, I'm now in Chelek Yud Aleph, Siman Nun Chet. And he's asked the question, are you allowed to listen to a woman give a drasha or just give some talk? Is Kol B'Isher ever, does it apply to her speech? And Rabbi Menashe Klein admits there's absolutely, you know, no concept of Kol B'Isha ever. A woman speaks throughout the Torah. We find the Imahot speaking. We find people listening. We find the Malachim posing as men, listening to Sarah, etc., etc. But he says to see a woman give a class, give a drasha, to enjoy listening to her, this is absolutely forbidden. And he gives a number of sources. I don't have to tell you they're sources from his world, but that's exactly the point I made with women rabbis, among other questions that get involved, the question of tzniut. A 30-year-old young woman getting up in the middle of davening and giving a drasha, a 30-year-old woman leading the Lechod Odi, Likrat Kala, jumping around, dancing up and down. Who are you looking at? And here I have to say, I don't agree with Rav Menashe Klein that it's totally asa, because after all, in this very kollel, Professor Nechama Leibovich taught, and let me tell you, she was fabulous. And when she gave Musa, the young rabbis listened. And when she told off a kid out of Flatbush for not coming in Aliyah, believe me, it hit home. So I can't say a blanket Issa, but this is a fascinating question. You can draw differences and make many. The Mashal's grandmother was a Rosh Yeshiva. You have that in Tshuvat HaMashal. I believe it's after Tshuva Chavted. She gave Shayurim in a yeshiva. And the Mashal describes the Talmidim as Gedole Yisrael. And this is a woman teaching. And you see from the Gemara, Ruria was involved in Dinim Devarim with the other Chachamim 100%.
Who's the Mashal?
Rav Shlomo Luria. Rav Shlomo Luria, Davi Yadua, his grandmother. Wow. So it's not something that you can say 100% asa. But it's an interesting question. And there is a concept of tzniut involved. You have to have a feeling for the issue. And this is why I told you that the more we have seminaries for women, the better it is that women should be the teachers. They have to be the role models. Today we have enough women who know how to teach, know how to learn, and it becomes very, very inspiring for women to have female teachers, role models, particularly when you're going to deal with Tarat Mishpacha and delicate, delicate sexual questions.
Okay. You agree with Avi Weiss then?
What?
You agree with Avi Weiss.
That what?
About women.
That women can teach women?
Women,
what does that, what does that have to do with Avi Weiss in Beit Rach, in Beit Sarah, Beit Rachel? I don't know. Oh, tomorrow I'm giving a solution to that problem. Tomorrow I'm launching tomorrow I'm launching the Rakefet solution. Yeah, yes, Gidi, what do you want to say?
I was going to say, going back to what we were talking about, what I was bringing about with like women speaking during shul, I mean, the shuls were allowed to the women will speak after davening. Is that a better solution?
So I think I already mentioned in class, I've been asked the question 100 times, including by my own children, and it was a big machloket in my son-in-law's shul where they finally put it to a vote and the women never left in anger. But anyway, so when it's asked about women speaking after the kiddush, go out, make kiddush, then you can reassemble. Esti Lichtenstein, interviewed by Makari Shon, was asked the very same question, and she said, this is my father's opinion. I asked my father, Baron Lichtenstein. He said, when davening ends, you take a 15-minute break, and then perhaps the woman can speak. So on that level, two Arons are responding exactly the same way. I said they should make it, as she said, take a break. But it's Shema v'zacha b'diba echad namro.
I was going back to, or everything also about like comparing like women in the Chadodi with like women's...
Well, go slow, models. Your English, I can't...
Sorry about that, I'll go a little bit slow.
So comparing,
when we're comparing women leading the Chadodi with women speaking during davening...
Well, then one second. In Shira Chadasha, women lead the Chadodi.
Right, I understand.
In Rabbi Avi Weiss, in a Young Israel of Hillcrest, where Rabbi Simcha Krauss was rabbi, and he already has moved, as we've said, quite to the left, his wife got up, I'm told, and gave a drusha in the middle of davening before Musaf. And okay, then some loved it and some opposed it. If you ask Rakefet, it is not within the
we're
realm.
We're putting that in the same category? We're putting
no, davening is worse. But they're davening is worse, no question about it. But they're both not desirable, in my opinion. Okay? All right, now we come to again.
Now, in Israel, you have on Pesach and Sukkot, people go to hotels.
Right.
And they have scholars in residence.
Right.
So you mean to tell me that it's not allowed to listen to a lecture by a woman?
No, I didn't say that. Reb Menashe Klein would say it's not allowed. I told you that.
Reb Menashe Klein?
Yeah, he would say it's not allowed. That's the impression I get from the tshuva. But then again, you have to understand the world he's coming from. But what's fascinating here is that he should get these questions too. So it shows you how the ger v'toshav, this struggle is going on all over. We have it on certain levels. They have it on certain levels much stronger than we do. For instance, paying taxes. Have you ever tried to avoid paying taxes? Have you ever tried to launder money? Have you ever tried to stick with the government? The government owes me a fortune of money. I fail. Let them use it. I have to get to an account with them. They get so in default the papers properly. But I have the attitude, Baruch Hashem, it's a Jewish government. My money is doing its stuff, right or wrong. The Tzitz Eliezer has a truth for that. If you live in Israel and pay taxes, that's more than 10% of your salary. Of course. If you follow, and you know what your money goes for here, it goes for bitachon, it goes for chinuch, it goes for chinuch dati, chinuch charedi. All right, you're going to say part of it goes for chinuch chiloni. So you say you hope there's yesh breira, min ken zech given at teretz. By the way, my friend Ruby Gross went to court when they introduced TV on Shabbos. That's in the early 70s. The Supreme Court judge ruled the TV on Shabbos. And, unbelievable. And they were dancing in the streets. There's going to be TV. And he paid 6/7 of the TV tax. Remember, there used to be a TV tax? They just abolished it. He paid 6/7 on principle, not for Shabbos. And, he went to court. He's a lawyer. It went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court ruled that you can't decide where your taxes go. You give it to the government. And with a sense of humor, one of the judges, Zilber, knew how to learn. He said, we hope for Mr. Gross there's yesh breira, that his money only goes for the causes he likes. But he says, if we're going to start letting each one determine where their taxes go, there's no government. The government has to work on a certain assumption that everyone pays a certain percent. So we have in our world all these problems, women rabbis, poor rabbis. Rimon went goes to Canada and they drove him. He couldn't believe there are no other problems on the agenda. But the Haredi world, there are problems with money, with shtick, get rich quick schemes. I don't want to go into details, but in Yerushalayim itself, some very fine looking Jews are sitting in jail right now for shtick with money. But we're all caught up with Kiva Tosha. Some on this level, some on the other level. But even with our riot, you notice Rabbi Menashe Klein knows what's going on. Now, here's a very fascinating tshuva. May inyan le'inyan ba'oto inyan. Chelek yudbet siman reish tzadi hei. And this tshuva is written in 1992. And it's Harav Hagon Hamafursam Bechibarav. It's Reb Shalom Kreuz Av Beiten Odvari. Am I pronouncing it right? I've seen this name before. He's one of the famous poskim rabbanim in the Brooklyn area, probably in the Borough Park area. And what's the question here? Look, in Borough Park, streets are one on top of another. And here you have a Beis Yaakov, and they're teaching the girls how to sing. And they're singing songs. And some Jews live on the street. And those in the immediate vicinity can't help but hear the girls singing. And the inquirer asks, I don't know what to do. Should I protest? But how can you protest? A school has to be a school. You can't tell them, move the school elsewhere. Stop teaching the girls. Stop teaching them how to sing. And Reb Menashe Klein says, from the basic point of view, if you have the power, you should force them to stop teaching the women how to sing. And he says, even in a private house, if a woman is singing and others can hear it, she should be told that this is not tzniut for her. And here he gets involved in the whole discussion that all of us are caught up in. It doesn't matter if we're Haredim or Datiyim, what is tzniut? And he spells it out, and I totally agree with him. You can describe women's dress from today to tomorrow. The skirt has to be this length. The sleeves have to be this length. The neck has to be this length. But a woman, she can be dressed technically properly, and she can be totally unsneistic with that same dress. I don't want to spell it out. Lolafi kvodenu. Not only that, the way a woman acts, the way a woman speaks. See, what's interesting in Shtisel or in Chatzer, where actors are portraying Haredim, and the newspapers have many articles about how they had to watch Haredim, they had to go to Geula, they had to be integrated. And you should see, whenever they're drinking a cup of water, they make a bracha, a drink of schnapps, they make a bracha. I don't know how from these actors are, but they are fabulous. But you see the tzniut, do you understand?
When is that show? What day?
I don't know when it's on. I'm seeing it via the computer. It was downloaded. Yes. When is it on?
It's on Thursday night.
Thursday?
Yes.
It's
available on VOD. Just go to drama, and you'll see if you'll find it.
Where say it's available?
It's on Video On Demand.
Video on demand, yes.
It's all available any time of the day.
It's very, 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 very fascinating.
Do you know the clothing store in Wolfson?
Yes, sure.
You know what their tagline is?
Their what line?
Their tagline.
Irreverently modest. So what you're
trying to advertise themselves.
Wow. And
I know
from my wife, her mother, when she was a young lady, and my wife was in high school, so her mother would always tell her, it's not just the length, it's the way you portray yourself. And here he says, we should talk to women, that it's not so newer for them. What is their reputation if they're singing and men on the block are listening? Okay?
This is a real
lady. They're getting up beside them. We didn't say he's not.
You are giving
If you give me 20 years, you'll understand why I love him. But right now I'm in Kolisha. He has gotten questions.
If you had women coming to the house, because they gave her, and they are shocked to find out that in some homes, they're not allowed to sing.
Well, you have to tell them, these are Haredim. But if they watch Chatzer, or watch Shtisel, they won't have a problem. But now, wait a minute. He now quotes a Rambam. It's all based upon a sugya in Baba Batra. But I want to quote the Rambam to you, and I want to quote the Shulchan Aruch to you. Tell me, what is he saying? The girls have a school. We want to interfere and stop the girls from singing? But you have to have schools. Listen to the Rambam. Hilcha Talmud Torah. Perik Bet, Halacha Zion. This is a very important Rambam. Has a lot of implications on a practical level. I'll explain myself in a minute. Echad Mimnei Mavui. A Mavui is Jews living in a courtyard, right? In other words, what you say in English, where it's a dead end on one side. What's that called?
An alleyway.
No, there's a what's the word?
Cul-de-sac,
that's the word. Cul-de-sac, mavui. And you have one house. You know what I'm talking about. And one of the people in the courtyard wants to open a school for children. You can't stop him. Melamei tinokot, shabar chavero. And what about if you already opened the school? And another person wants to open a school right next to you. Kedesha Yaboa Tikonat Acherim Lo. He's going to teach other children. Or he's going to be in competition with you. Or Kedesha Yaboa Mitikonat Shazay Tzolzeh. Eina Yochal Limchot Biyodo. You cannot stop him. Sheneema Hashem Chafetz Laman Zito Yagdil Torah V'yadi. You say it in davening every morning. And this concept, there is no hasagat gavul, when it comes to teaching Torah, living Torah, inspiring Torah, davening, all these activities, you cannot say, this is my business, and you cannot come near me.
There are
limitations. That's the whole sugya in Baba Batra, and you go into Choshen Mishpat, you'll see that there are limitations, and in every civilized country, including Israel, there are limitations how close you can be to your competitor if he got there first. But when it comes to Talmud Torah, Lahagdil Torah Ulahadira. Now, in relation to the tshuva, this means how can you stop girls from learning? It's a psak of the Rambam. I'll go further in a second. But this psak, do you recognize what the implications are? Here, let me tell you a story. Bididenu Haviyota, this actually happened. Queens was the next to last borough to be conquered for Torah. Staten Island comes after Queens. Queens comes after Brooklyn, Manhattan, or I should say Manhattan, Brooklyn, Bronx, then Queens. When I was growing up, you viewed Queens right near Long Island. A Shomer Shabbos Jew did not set foot in that greater area. Manhattan and the Bronx, Brooklyn, difficulties, Queens, attractive, a new area. And little by little in the 50s, you already had a few Orthodox shuls. In Jamaica, there was a big shul, and a Hasidic Rebbe tried to open up there. The established shul took the rabbi to Beit Din. They couldn't stop him from opening up. He wants to teach. He wants to preach. Lahandil Torah lahadira. But they went on a Choshen Mishpat issue. Hasagat Gvul, monetary. We have a handful of Orthodox Jews. Let's say our budget is $100,000 a year, which was a big sum at that time. You're going to come in with a shtibel. Any guy who didn't get maftir when he wanted maftir, you follow me, Asher, is going to walk out. Any guy, Alex, who was offended because the rabbi didn't give him enough cover, it'll go to the shtibel. Another guy will discover in the shtibel, the membership, you don't have to be a member, you give the rebbe $18 every once in a while, and you're happy. And they...
And that's what they were fighting against?
Yeah. They were fighting against Dini Mamonet, that they're cutting into their support. This is Hasagat Gvul. This is what Herbie Chaim alluded to, the question of one store selling shoes open right next door. So they went on that level. Anyway, whether they won or lost, it didn't matter. They made the Rebbe's task bitter. So he moved to a different area of Queens. Kew Gardens Hills. Kew Gardens Hills already, there was one big shul, I call it an armory, if you know the way it's built, or a big oversized barn. That's what it looks like from the outside. Rabbi, the illustrious Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld. And this shtibel opened a few blocks from the shul. Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld sent him balabatim to daven, make dominion, and take a look where Kew Gardens Hills is today. Okay? It's not yet Borough Park, but Kainain Hara. It's a hotbed of Frum Jews, spills over the Hillcrest, land the college, Bukharins, you have your work cut out for you there, Avraham. It is unbelievable what this different attitude made. Now, that is exactly the Rambam. If someone opens a chayda, someone opens a yeshiva, and someone opens next door, you can't interfere. Kinat sofrim tarbe chokhma. There is nothing like competition. I always said about Landa College, it should ultimately be good for yeshiva college, because it'll create competition, and the more you compete the higher the standards, the better the teachers, the better the rebbeim, and the students ultimately are the ones who benefit.
It's interesting to know the relationship of the Maimonides School of Salvation with the Lubavitch School that they opened.
Right.
And it's a very nice relationship.
Right. And you should know that one of the earliest graduates of Maimonides, I think he was in the original class, is Rabbi Krinsky, Rabbi Yehuda Krinsky, who becomes one of the seventh Rebbe's three key Gabayim. And we'll talk about tomorrow what he has to say about Rabbi Soloveitchik, as you will see. Okay, this is a very, very important source. Let me end off the class. Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat Siman Kuf Nun Vav Sif Gimel. Again, I repeat, Kuf Nun Vav Sif Gimel. And this is, to answer your question, Herbie, Hilchat Niske Shkenim. It does with torts, damages, courts by neighbors. And the Shulchan Aruch says, V'chein yesh lo lilmod tinoket Yisrael Torah betoch beis to. V'ein ha'shchinim yecholim limchot biyado. V'lomelo, ein anu yecholim lishon mikol ha'tinoket shel Beit Rabban. V'hu hadim l'chol milei de mitzvot she'ein yecholim limchot biyado. What a halacha. In your very apartment building, the neighbor above you is teaching 36 children. They're talking, they're singing, they're dancing on your head, and you need your sleep, and there's nothing that you can do to stop them. Lahagdil Torah ulahadira. I'm blessed. I can sleep with the windows open, broad daylight. You can be drilling in the building. What we've gone through, about five apartments in my building have been rebuilt for costs of hundreds of thousands of shekel. I look at the rebuilt apartment and ich verstehnisch, I don't understand what they gained, what was wrong, but people have a mishagas. Or I can understand you remodeled your kitchen. We remodeled our kitchen a number of years ago. Kitchen was already more than 40 years old. But that's what goes on. And nevertheless, I was able to sleep. Now, let me end up. We're right in the middle. We got to go further, but we'll leave that for next time, which is going to be a few weeks from now. Gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Those of you living in the state of Israel and know what's going on, can anyone tell me how this concept just reflected in a new law passed in Yerushalayim, or it could be the whole country for that matter? I'm not certain. Can anyone tell me? No? Until when can you make noise at night? Until 11 o'clock at night. But there are nights where the noise will go on all night. And if I'm not mistaken, two of the nights are, of course, Yom HaTzmut is one of them, where they celebrate all night. But I believe Lag BaOmer and Simchas Torah, there's no way that you're allowed to call the police. They can dance and sing and clap in all the streets of Israel all night on those special nights. Well, the museums is a different story. They're trying to make them lower. Anyway, believe me, one day we'll have a totally Jewish state, so these problems will ameliorate themselves. Yes, what did you want to say, Shimon?
I believe they want to have Mimuna to the...
Oh, Maimuna was added. I know Shas was involved. Maimuna. Well, it's a proposal, but if Shas is behind it, it will be passed. What can I tell you? For better or for worse, Derry is a master politician. Look where Liebman is today, and look where Derry is today, okay? And try to figure that one out. My dear,
isn't bad either.
Liebman isn't bad. He has as much power today as a dead fly in your bedroom. Liebman isn't bad. That a guy can huck and shock and yell and talk and say what we'd like to hear is one thing. Who's listening? Who gives a hoot? Where are his votes? Where are his Chafrei Knesset? My dear students, to reiterate, I see, Yomo, you had a good time today. To reiterate, what do we do today? All right, this is, it's not just the world of Menashe Klein, but you see the interaction. And the questions of Woodburn, the Catskills, the mountains, the women rabbi, and don't forget what Rabbi Berlwein told. It is so amazing. There you have it right before your eyes. The Balabatim, Rabbi Wein, my congregants were only commenting on the clothes I wore, the makeup, the jewelry. No one said a word about my sermons. And all right, I can understand it's tzniut, it's delicate. I don't say Nechama Leibovitz can't teach, but I don't know if you had some, don't want to use the language of that newspaper, but if you have some 24-year-old, the genius lady, who's a combination of Marilyn Monroe and Elizabeth Taylor, I do raise the question of whether it's a nuance. It's a woman has to be the master. She understands it. It's if she's a tsanua, it's not just the proper dress. It's how she uses that proper dress and how she deports herself. By the way, it doesn't mean men shouldn't be tsanu, obviously, but we fall into a slightly different category. We're now in the middle of a very interesting question of women teaching, singing, girls, can you interfere, can't you interfere? And here is Rabbi Menashe Klein. I want to thank Murray for giving us an up-to-date report of the Catskills. Let's see what comes next. If anyone is interested, here are all the sources on Thanksgiving Day, Torah sources and general sources. Here is Reb Nachum Lamb's letter with some very interesting information. Once again, what we spoke about at the end of class on Monday, Chabad and the Rebbe telling the girl to clap hands, but not to sing. So when I got another copy of it. Here is a set of books, all different, but all involved outreach. How do we reach out? Atid in Israel, how do we teach kids to love Gemara? Present tense, the Bronfman magazine, people who were Bronfman fellows, what became of them? Jewish resources for high schools, Wizo in Israel, this is the peoplehood papers. This is another foundation that I know, the Jim Joseph Foundation. And if you look at it, make a decision. Can we really teach kids to remain Jewish if we're not teaching them the Vah Hashem Zu Halacha? Michael, Uhurachim, please. Or Herbie, whoever.